Blog Talk Radio.
But when I think of success, I think of pursuing your passion in life, what it is that you love, but pursuing it with the spirit of excellence.
Sisters of Ink presents The Best Is Yet to Come Radio Show.
Young, old, whomever, that if you believe in yourself and if nobody else believes in you, believe in yourself. If I can achieve success, then I believe anyone can achieve success.
And now, here is your host and producer, Luella Hill Dooley, and co-host, author, and success expert, Dr. Michelle Wright.
Oh, yes, without question, the best is yet to come. Happy St. Patrick's Day on this most blessed and beautiful Monday, March 17th. I am Michelle Wright, co-host of today's Sisters with Ink, The Best is Yet to Come blog talk radio show. And let me send a best is yet to come shout out of love and appreciation to Sisters with Ink, host and producer, Luella Hill Dudley, as well as and most distinguished members of Sisters with Ink. And I would be remiss if I did not thank each of you, our beloved listeners, for also joining us today for this month's The Best Is Yet to Come show. And you would not be disappointed and are in for a most wonderful double treat with today's two outstanding guests, author and publisher Brenda Joyce Nichols of Memphis, Tennessee, and author, speaker, and community activist Geraldine Hollis of Stockton, California. Today's show theme is moving beyond the impossible to achieve the possible, and today's guests are a testament to overcoming obstacles to achieve success. Thus, it is our hope that today's show will empower each of you to embrace that the best is most definitely yet to come. So it is now my pleasure to welcome our first distinguished guest, author and publisher, Ms. Brenda Joyce Nichols. Welcome, Brenda.
Hi, Michelle and the listening audience.
Well, Brenda, let me officially welcome you to today's show again. Now, I'm sure that many of our listeners may not know who you are, but I know firsthand that you are truly a woman of love, faith, and God. However, please so kindly give our listeners an overview of who is Brenda Nichols.
Okay, most definitely. I am Brenda Joyce Nichols. I live in Memphis, Tennessee, and I am a being that truly, truly loves the Lord. And I love to tap into this creative being that he has gifted each one of us. I am a preacher's kid, the baby of eight children, good old Black Baptist preaching is my background, religious family. We love the Lord. And just being able to birth books and talk about who I am and this creative being that God has made me, it just tells you who I am in the Lord.
Awesome. Now, Brenda, I have met a lot of people in my life in a lot of unique ways and under quite a few unforeseen circumstances. But our story and acquaintance really took on a whole life of its own, especially as it pertains to both of us being connected sisters authors. Would you like to elaborate?
Yes, Michelle, you know, it is very unique how you and I met. And that's one of the things about listening to your first voice or that first mind when the spirit within you tells you to do something. My girlfriend had picked up your book in a discount store, and she bought the book to me, and she said, this book is anointed. And I said, okay, now I love books. And later that evening, I picked up the book because the Holy Spirit said, pick that book up. I picked that book up, turned it on the back, saw this beautiful lady, and that she lived in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I said, wow, this is a hop, skip, and a jump from Memphis. And before I knew it, I had called you, and I knew in the back of my mind our paths were to connect. That phone call, and 2 weeks later, I was sitting in the living room. I was enjoying a spectacular view, and nothing has been the same since that day. And that was about 2 years ago, Michelle.
It was about 2 years ago, yes. That is, it's amazing how time flies, isn't it?
Yes, and just meeting and connecting with you in that way, it says a lot about how God helps to put people together.
And we already know who God puts together, right?
That's
no
right.
Man put us under.
That's right.
I am definitely grateful for the divine connection. Now, Brenda, Psalms 26:7 notes that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works.
Amen.
And as such, you recently ventured out on a new and exciting long-term dream by becoming the founder and publisher of Spiritual Magazine Online, which, if I'm not mistaken, officially launched online in February 2014.
Right.
And I know that Spiritual Magazine is an extension of your lifelong passion to write and talk about the goodness of God. Can you tell us more about this God-given and God-directed publishing project?
Yes, Michelle. Like I said, you know, to pick up, when I met you in 2012, I had just finished graphic design school. Now, I had spent 25 years in the workforce at FedEx. And I knew at the nice young age, over 55, God had me on a new path. So I went to design school, and that was a one-year project. When I finished, I knew that God had something for me to do. As a project for my graduation, I decided I would do a magazine. Now, once I did that magazine, although it was just a project, I had a feeling God had bigger plans for that project. And at that time, you came along for the interview process in 2012. The testimonies started coming, and Spiritual Magazine had gone beyond just a graduation grade, but it had life had come to it. It had a purpose. And God had told me that publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of my wondrous works. That meant go out there and get those testimonies. Go out there and get those stories. All my life I wanted to write and tell stories. Now he's telling me, I'm going to give you something to write about. There are stories out there and people, we're just not bragging about the goodness of the Lord. We're not telling our testimonies. We're not declaring those wondrous works that he is still doing. And God gave me the commission to go get them, to publish them by any means necessary. But he wants the good news out that we got some testimonies. So that's how Spiritual Magazine came into being. But he had it on hold for 2 years, for some reason, 2 years. But in 2014, he said it's time. And Michelle was in play. We had bonded. My other stories, they were just waiting. And we were all excited. And once God launched that magazine and he said it's time, the rest is history. From February the 12th of this year to this day, you won't believe how God has moved in Spiritual Magazine Online.
Well, I tell you, I love your enthusiasm, and I feel it. I love it. And it's so in time, not a minute early, nor a minute late. And I'm telling you, he was right on time with Spiritual Magazine, and he was right on time with you. I do love the spiritual content of this magazine. And what's interesting is you hear Donald Larson's The Best Is Yet to Come song in the intro of today's The Best Is Yet to Come blog radio talk show. But you have also recently shared that Donald Lawrence's song, Spiritual, expresses your sentiments for naming the title of your magazine. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, yes, I can. I can talk about that a lot all day. However, Donald Lawrence is one of my favorite art writers and artists. His songs just tap into the innermost being of whatever it is I'm trying to express. And when I heard Spiritual years before, a couple of years before the magazine project, that song spoke volumes to me because I know we're spiritual beings. You know, God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and truth. And if we are to really, really want to get into his presence, we have to enter into a spiritual realm. Now, once we get in that spiritual realm, he manifests. He unfolds himself, and, man, you can really feel the presence of God. So that Spiritual magazine and that concept of human beings, just we were human beings living, you know, in a spiritual existence. You know, now you're just not a human being, but you're having a spiritual experience. So that's how we live our lives. We're able to overcome. We're more than conquerors. Because
Amen.
Once we enter into that spiritual realm, you know, we can do all things over and beyond.
All
things. I mean, it ain't nothing that, you know, we are power. So long as you claim your spiritual walk, you enter into that spirituality concept, tap into who you are in God, hey, it's on.
It's definitely on. And Brenda, you better run and tell that. I feel it. I really, really feel it. Thank you. And Spiritual Magazine and its tagline, spiritual being living a natural experience. Now, this is not just a buzz phrase. It represents your spiritual beliefs. And please do tell us, what are these beliefs?
Well, just as I was saying, and just before, you know, those spiritual beings living a natural experience. God has created us, you know, in his likeness. We're spiritual beings, and we're down here in this earthly realm. And he has a purpose. He has created us and purposed us to do something in this earthly realm as humans. But we're more of a spiritual being. So once we do that and we know for certain what God has purposed us to do, now you got to do something to find out what your purpose is. You've got to get into that spiritual realm, get with God, begin to talk to him and meditate, and he's going to tell you exactly what that thing is that makes you beat, that makes you want to get up in the morning, makes you want to overcome anything that is something inside of you that he's giving you. And that's how you're going to be able to be that spiritual being living a natural experience.
I love it. I love it. You know, as I think about your tagline, the spiritual being living a natural experience, it reminds me of one of my favorite Bible verses, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Because to me, that has both a spiritual context, hear from heaven, and a natural, heal their land. And so I like that, because I'm one that believes we can have both natural and spiritual success in life. And you are a living testament of that. You know, when I think of one of my favorite spiritual songs, and we all have our own favorite spiritual songs, but mine is Amazing Grace. And the first verse, as most of us know, is, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. was blind, but now I see. Now, you are the author of not only inspirational romance novels, Heaven Must Be Like This and Heavenly Portions, but you also released a testimonial book, which is near and dear to your heart, titled Blind, But Now I See, which talks about living with a degenerative eye disorder. Can you please tell us more? Because this is a most awesome and unbelievable testimony.
Amen. Yes, it is, Michelle. And to your listening audience, I just want you to know that I thank God for my testimony. And that testimony is a degenerative eye disorder. And that disease is called keratoconus, and is known as KC for short, and it's the disease of the cornea of the eye. And as a result of being diagnosed with that in the early 80s, I spent most of the 80s, about a good seven years of the 80s, in a functional blindness position. That's what they labeled me. And that meant that my seeing was so distorted, and I was a low vision person. I could not see within 2 inches of me. I could not see faces. I could not detect nothing would come together for me. And the bad thing is that it wasn't getting any worse. It wasn't getting better. The disease would get worse. I had to wear contacts. I had to wear eyeglasses. I wore eyeglasses and contacts together, just whatever it took to make me be able to see and function. But the good news is they said that I could have transplants. So that's the good thing about tissue and organ donation. I'm an advocate for getting you to go out and donate those organs and tissues because I am a benefit of cornea tissues that was given to by someone who left them as a donor. So in 91 and 1993, I benefited from bilateral transplants, which restored corrective vision in both of my eyes. And it's just an awesome testimony because I went from just seeing it to seeing is believing. You know how we are. We got to see everything to believe it. To just seeing is seeing. Y'all, when you lose your eyesight, when you lose your vision, ability to just see and function on a daily basis, and when God restores it, you can't do nothing but say, I once was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, like I say, we can be blind spiritually as well. Although my testament is physical, it has to do with the physical eyes and the eyesight, but God had that time set aside where he was doing a major transformation in my heart. He was opening my eyes that I might see who he was as the creator, that I may see those testaments and testimonies that are out there. God was doing a heart change. He was piercing my heart that I could see beyond what normal man could see, especially when it came to the spiritual realm and how he works and operates. So that, too, attests to each one of us have a testimony.
Amen.
We got a purpose, and we got a testimony. But thank God I'm no longer blind, but I'm no longer spiritual blind either. I can see. And when you see God in everything that he has for you in life, when you can see him, hey, you are more than a conqueror, more than an overcomer. You are a spiritual being in this earthly realm living a natural experience.
I have no doubt our viewers are so, so inspired by you today. I know I am. You know, we hear all the time, was blind, but now I see from a spiritual perspective. But to have that testimony from a natural, physical perspective, if that's not inspiring, I don't know what is. And as I hear you talk, I think about Ecclesiastes 3, to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. You definitely received your healing, and a time to break down and a time to build up. And this show, The Best Is Yet to Come, is all about building up, not only from a natural perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. Brenda, you are just awesome, but I have to ask you, what does The Best Is Yet to Come mean to you as it pertains to today's theme, moving beyond the impossible to achieve the possible?
Man, Michelle, that theme is awesome, and it tells you a whole lot. You know, moving beyond the impossible to achieve the possible. Man, you know, and that's what I've done. I feel God has blessed me. Impossible, moving beyond the ability to not see, to achieve the possible. This is when I birthed my books. This is when I began to write. This is when the full purpose of who I am came into place. And then that was, you know, those were my down years. But those were my years when he says, I'm going to restore the years that the cankerworm ate. I am going to restore to you what was lost. And that's when I knew my future, my latter years, it were the best to come. Because God said, you're just beginning this journey. And I am 58 years young. We'll have a birthday in November this year. I'll be 58. And God is telling me, you're like you're 5 years old to me, 58 days old. But your best is yet to come. You are just beginning to be the person that I purposed you to be. So look forward. Look forward to the future, because you haven't seen nothing yet.
Wow. You know what? I received that, Brenda.
That's right. We ain't even got what God has began to roll out for us to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yeah, I see what you're saying exactly. And you know what? You're so inspiring. You are so inspiring. And I want to thank you so much for being such an inspiration, not only to our listeners, but to me. So please tell us, what final words of encouragement do you have for our listeners who are still striving to move beyond the impossible to achieve the possible?
I would encourage each listener that's hearing my voice that if you want to be all that God purposed you to be, then seek him. Seek him. Don't lean on your own understanding, but seek him. And I declare you, he will tell you what it is that he wants you to accomplish in this earthly realm. He will give you your purpose. Your gifts will begin to work. But once you seek him and you find that purpose, and you love him and give him your heart and your soul,
amen,
I know you will evolve, and you will be that person that God has purposed you to be.
Amen, amen. And Brenda, if our listeners are interested in reading your spiritual online magazine, Purchasing Blind But Now I See, are learning more about you and your other publishing works, then how can they contact you?
I'm so glad you asked. They can visit me, Michelle, at www.brendajoycenichols.com, and it will also take you to Spiritual Magazine Online. .com. Now there you will learn all about how to purchase books, how to contact me, how to write your testimony, how to be featured in the magazine, and even how I can coach you into being what God has purposed you to be. So that's BrendaJoyceNichols.com. Yes. Can I give a phone number?
Absolutely.
901-649-7299. You can call me directly at any time, and I will answer.
Repeat that number one more time.
901-649-7299.
Listeners, you have heard it. Again, that was Brenda Joyce Nichols, founder and publisher of Spiritual Magazine Online, and author of the amazing book, Blind But Now I See. Do visit her at www.BrendaJoyceNichols.com or reach her at 901-649-7299. Thank you again, Brenda. It was such a pleasure having you.
All right, Michelle. I look forward to hearing from some of your callers, and make sure y'all go see her. She's the cover story.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle. You are so welcome. And now it gives me extreme pleasure to welcome our next guest, Miss Geraldine Hollis, a speaker and community activist, as well as the author of Back to Mississippi and March Memories. Geraldine, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be a part of this program, Michelle.
And we are honored to have you. And, Geraldine, it is such a pleasure having you on our show today. And you have a unique story, most indeed. You are not only a Stockton author and speaker, but you are a community activist. Please tell our listeners more on who Geraldine Hollis is.
Okay, first of all, I give honor to God. I appreciate the talk that I just listened to. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony. And I, too, am a Christian, first of all. I'm a wife, a mother, a grandmother. I'm an acquired mother and grandmother in that my husband and I have adopted children. We have four foster sons that we brought to maturity, and we have a family of four now that are children from teenagers to our 8-year-old, and these are our families, and we reach out to them. My community work has to do with nonprofits. I'm with the Dr. Martin Luther King Celebration under the auspices of the Ministers and Community United here in Stockton. I'm a part of the Tougaloo College Northern California Alumni Association, and I serve as the treasurer for both of those groups. I work with the South Stockton Roundtable, which is a speaking engagement and outspoken a place for people to speak out on the things that concern them in the part in this part of the city. And so we meet once a month on that, and I'm the founder of that group. I also work with the Circle of Service, which is a Christian missionary at the First Baptist Church. I'm a deaconess at Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist. I work as the church clerk, and I'm just a part of a lot of other groups that I don't have a board member or membership in, but I work with them to make sure that I do the things that I see that needs to be done, such as encouragement, the enlightenment, also to help them to forge ahead with collaboration and to enlighten and energize citizens to continue to move forward in things that they know needs to be done.
Awesome. I could tell you firsthand, we all need encouragement, enlightenment, and to be energized. And I commend you for that, especially when it comes to young adults. And as a young adult, Geraldine, a journey was started in Mississippi when equal opportunity and constitutional rights among blacks and whites needed to be challenged. Tell us more about this experience.
Let's see, prior to this journey of social change, and that's what it was. It was social change. They have the name as civil rights and civil justice and all of these things, but I lived in the South. I lived in Mississippi. And the status quo at that time was segregation. You know what segregation is, but some of us may not have lived it in this age. Degradation. Degradation was those things that were all putting you down for just being the color of your skin or where you lived. Second-class citizenship meant that we could not have the full rights that other people enjoyed. And the most damaging was degraded materials for school and educational materials. But you know what? I thrived because I was supported by a loving and supportive family. My mother and father were in the home, and every day we had this kind of support. And also, like many other young people, I lived with my parents and had the support of my grandparents. So there was that continuing extended family, and my father was a minister, so I was a PK also.
Wow. You know, it's so important to have encouraging people in our life. Like you say, your parents are champions of success that help to prepare us towards our purpose and destiny in life. And definitely it seems like your parents had an impact in your life and probably as it pertains to your education. Now, you received your BS degree in health and physical education with minors in mathematics and biological sciences from Tougaloo College, located in Tougaloo, Mississippi, in 1962, if I'm correct.
That's correct.
And during this time, you rallied for social change and embarked on a historical event that changed history in Mississippi. And I know about the unique change in Little Rock with the Little Rock Nine, but you did this as a member of the Tougaloo Nine. Can you tell our listeners more about this historical moment in time?
Yes. Before I get to that, let me go to the fact that I finished in 1962. I started college in 1959, and I had a large family. It was six of us, and I had a desire to finish my classwork early, so I went to school year-round. I went to school, and I finished in 3 years and three summers. And
wow.
This was a plan back then. So I've always been into planning things. And I guess that was a part of my family, being the oldest of all of the children and the only girl at that time. So I had to learn how to plan. And my goals that I had for myself were just normal for me because I was always seeking new challenges and always maximizing my time and my efforts. So I made it a fact that I was going to make my own design in the content of the college requirements. And not only did I finish the course and got the final grade, but I had not just a major, I had a major and two distinct minors, which gave me a lot more to work with when I finally got a job. Now, during that time, while I was at Tougaloo, that second year, I want you to know that my mom came down with cancer, breast cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes. And I had all of these personal things going on, but I was still motivated to become a part of this group known as the Tougaloo Nine. And I just wasn't somebody that just came and sat in and was chosen. We went through a rigorous training. We went through a group situation where we had to be chosen by who we were and the kinds of parenting that we had because we had to learn how to be nonviolent. We had to position ourselves to be nonviolent because we had to work with the thoughts that Dr. Martin Luther King set aside for success at that time. And we knew that there were young people who were going out and sitting in at the eating luncheon places and things like that. But we wanted to come up with something that was different. And so we chose the library. And that was our goal, to integrate the City of Jackson's library at that time.
That is impressive. Very impressive. Wow. You are a trailblazer. And as a member of the Tougaloo Nine, you definitely forged a path. And not only was a path forged, challenges met and documentations made in your book, Back to Mississippi, and yet another book, March Memory. So I want to first start with your first nonfiction book, Back to Mississippi. Can you tell us what valuable lessons of life can readers expect to take away from this book?
I'll be happy to do that. With Back to Mississippi, over the years, my husband and I went back to Mississippi almost every year, sometimes twice a year, and I documented some of this in my book. The reason for going back was to see family and also to see how the area was growing and if what we did made a difference. And I was very concerned about that because, for one thing, as a part of the Tougaloo Nine, when the Freedom Riders came through, there was a lot of violence. And that governor at that time, Ross Barnett, he made sure that nobody would realize that we had made a successful movement in Mississippi. What we did in March 27, 1961, was successful. It was documented that it was a successful integration, but it was sort of put on the back burner so that people would not remember it. And that's what kept all of us, some of the nine, kept asking, well, why wasn't the Tougaloo Nine acknowledged that we had really been the ones that opened up the state of Mississippi, the City of Jackson, and that Tougaloo College was known as the cradle that rocked the Tougaloo was the cradle that rocked the beginning of the civil rights in Mississippi. And so we wanted to be able to tell about this, but no one, we all had our jobs and we all had our lives to move forward to, and we really did sort of lost contact for some years in there. And when we came back together, it was in 2006, and that was 45 years after that time.
Wow.
And we talked about it, and at that time, I started journaling again. I journaled right after the event back in 1962 and 63. I journaled, but I kept my notes somewhere in my mind and in my memories. And so I started putting those together. And it was at the beginning of, I think, 2010, just before the 50th year anniversary, that I really started writing.
Wow. Well, I tell you, your book is so interesting. And to surmise, Back to Mississippi shares valuable lessons that as we live as people, we should have a reason for the result of our life and to have a purpose, goal, or deal for making things better for our community, our family, and actually humankind in general. Now, your second book, March Memories, addresses the success of planning, making a plan, being committed to the task no matter the outcome. I like that. And this is being launched this month. Is that correct?
Yes, March. It was launched really alive on February the 24th, just in time for March. And so all of March it has been alive online. But I just got my my first copy last week, and I already have some pre-orders for that. So it's really, people knew about it. My friends and close family members knew about it. So I'm excited about that.
Do you think after today's show I can sweet talk you out of an autographed copy? I would be so honored.
Oh, yes. I'm just looking for my first order to come in for to be able to autograph them for people. Yeah. In today's world, you know, we have templates, we have mentoring, we have tutoring, we have copying. But March Memories for me is designed to present to others as a guide for them to follow my steps to overcome adversity.
And what are some wonderful, wonderful steps? And I definitely plan to be in that first batch of orders. Can you tell our listeners more about your forthcoming book, and if they want to get a copy of either one of these books or any of your other written and published works, what can they do or how can they get it?
Yes. Well, I'll go back to Back to Mississippi. We have a website, Back to Mississippi, www.backtomississippi, and that would take you to get a book from the publishing company, and it would give you a little bit of an idea about who I am. You can also get the book from Amazon, and really both books can be gotten from Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, and online. So that's available. I also have things set up so that people can email me with my email, which is GH4Enlighten. And I guess you see that word enlighten. I use that word because that's what I like to do. And that's at hotmail.com. And I use PayPal as a way to get the books out. And that's the way I can get autographed copies. And also I would like to say that in 2012, I went on a five-state tour, and I plan to go back on a tour again this summer. So I will be setting up book signings, and where I like to go is to the libraries. The library is what it started all about, and I still want to go to the libraries. So I'm trying very hard to get my book into as many libraries as possible. When I speak to schools and universities, colleges, I always leave a book, and that one has been Back to Mississippi. So I continue to want to make sure that I get books placed in libraries as much as possible. I think about Johnny Appleseed. Everywhere he went, he left a book. I mean, an apple. But for me, I would like to leave a book, either Back to Mississippi or March Memories.
So you would be, when you come and you do these tours, you're going to have Back to Mississippi and March Memories available.
Yes, I will.
Wonderful. Now, let me tell you, Little Rock, Arkansas is full of wonderful libraries, so please add us to your list if we are not already on your list. And as you know, Little Rock, not just with the Little Rock Nine, but in so many different perspectives, is full of memories. So we definitely would love to see you in the state of Arkansas.
Okay, I will definitely keep that in mind. Yes, I will.
Awesome. And as you know, our radio topic today is The Best Is Yet to Come, and our theme is Moving Beyond the Impossible to Achieve the Possible. Geraldine, what does The Best Is Yet to Come mean to you as it pertains to today's theme, Moving Beyond the Impossible to Achieve the Possible?
Well, basically, it's all in a nutshell. There is nothing impossible when you have God on your side, a plan in your hand, a goal in your mind, and determination as your weapon of moving.
Amen. I have to agree with that. You know, sometimes even when things seem impossible, you know, with God, all things are possible, and it's so important to have, again, those mentors, those champions of success, those success warriors in your life that can tell you that you can, in spite of believing that you came, and you're a testament of that. I know that you mentioned your parents. Anyone else that was a true inspiration in your life that you would like to acknowledge that maybe even inspired you to be the library person that you are?
Yes. I when I talk about a mentor, you know, a good teacher is more than a mentor. And I lived with knowing that I had one of the best teachers in the whole world. And I had this teacher from fifth grade all the way up through 12th grade. And I know people wonder, how could that person have a teacher like that? But her name was Janie E.L. Haynes. And the reason that she was in my life all those years is because she spotted me on the playground in the fifth grade. And she mentored me, and she worked with me until I got into middle school and at the same site. And she started pulling me to come in to help her with her classes. And when I was a high school student, I was basically helping her to teach the classes in civical education. And she was the one that rallied for me as I went forward, not only to Tougaloo, but as I even got my first master's degree. And that's a teacher. That's a person that really was there. And I don't know if everyone can remember a wonderful teacher in their lives. But to me, that motivated me to reach out to all of my students and try to be the best that I could be to improve, help them improve in their lives.
That is so awesome. And I want to thank you, Geraldine, for being the best that you can. As I said, today's show is the best that's yet to come, the best that's not only yet to come, but the best is here. And as I think about that, I think about Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So I want to thank you, Geraldine. But before you go, any final words of love and encouragement for our beloved listeners?
Yes. Practice love for all mankind. One of the things that I'm asked about all of the time, are you bitter about what happened to you in life? And I have to say no, because I have love. And I want to let everyone know that you have to forgive and live. You live your best to be your best.
I love that. I love it. I love it. And much thanks and appreciation to both of our guests today, Ms. Brenda Nichols and Ms. Geraldine Hollis, as well as Sisters with Ink host and producer, Ms. Luella Hill Dudley, all of which a walking example that the best is yet to come. And so are you. And with all that said, I am author, speaker, and success expert, Michelle Wright, and it was indeed, truly indeed, an honor serving as your co-host today. And until next time, please continue to spread the love no matter where you are from. And may God bless every one of you, for the best is yet to come. Love you. And God bless.
Out of the
this has been a presentation of Sisters with
Me
Ink.
Plum. You came along and everything started into hum.
Tune in next time with co-host and success expert Dr. Michelle Wright. And remember,
is yet to come.